Luke chapter number 1, and hope you've had a great week, and spoke over in the trailer park about rejoicing in the Lord always, and I was finding a hard time rejoicing on the way here. And so, amen. And I promise I didn't pray for patience this week. You know, maybe I should have, but I got a little bit and along the way there. And so we've had this every year, but I think it is getting busier and busier each year. And so we may have to vote some people out of office to get that changed down here in Haines City. Amen. And amen. I think I've not taken it personal, but today might have been that day. Amen. So Luke chapter number 1, I wouldn't mind to see it on Saturday, but it's an ungodly thing to do on the Lord's Day, isn't it? Amen. So Luke chapter number 1, and I want to just speak a little bit about the way of peace. I mean, as far as in general, what we'll speak about today is the way of peace, and you'll see it in the scripture there, but there are so many different personalities that God uses as he brings his son into the world. And we see that throughout the scripture. But one of those people is Mary's uncle, Zacharias. And as he is, being told, you know, he's of an older age and much like Abraham and Sarah, but maybe not that old. Okay. But really past the time of life where they should have been able to have a child. The angel, messenger angel, comes to him and is going to speak to him. And the Jews require a sign. We've said that over and over again. We taught it through the book of Acts. And so he has a sign. Listen, I don't know how much of a sign you need. When an angel from heaven shows up, okay, and says, I'm not one of the low ones, I'm Gabriel. Okay, so when God wants his message delivered first class, I deliver all his mail. And so he shows up and he says to him that, hey, you know, and he goes, well, I need a sign. What shall be the sign of this? He says, here's your sign. You're not going to be able to speak until the baby's born. And so the Bible uses the word dumb there, and it just means that he's not going to be able to speak, and he is ministering. Sometimes we might think that the angel Gabriel was upset with him, but again, sometimes when we ask God to show us something, sometimes it always doesn't turn out where it is something that we think would be a positive thing. Because God wants to get his message to the world. You know, sometimes when we, again, was it a bigger sign to the world that an angel had showed up to Zacharias that something in his life changed? It was a sign, but he didn't ask for a specific sign. He didn't always put out a fleece. But again, God uses it and he leaves there and everybody knows that he met with God. Do you know Jacob was the same way? Jacob wrestled with God. And he wrestled and prevailed, the Bible says, with God. And then God reached down and touched his thigh, and he limped for the rest of his life. But everybody that saw that limp, he had a testimony of saying, God did this. And that limp was from, you know, again, I don't know about you, and I don't mean to say this, but I just want you to put it in perspective. Sometimes we think these are not positive things, but you're no different when God uses things in your life. I was standing in line the other day and I looked at the back of my hand. Now my hands are becoming, when I was a young man, I thought, what in the world is wrong with my dad's hands? I could see all the pores and all the dry and the crackness of it. And my hands didn't look anything like that. My hands look a lot like that today. But I have a scar that runs the whole back of my hand. And I can tell you where I got it. I can tell you I was working on a Kenworth diesel engine, trying to get in there and mess around in there and just fix. I didn't want to tear the whole thing apart. I knew how to fix it right, but I was trying to take a shortcut. And I was trying to force something into a place that the designer didn't make it be forced into. Now I got it in there and I got proof that I made it work. And I'll wear this for the rest of my life. And I guarantee you that little short piece of rubber hose that I stuck in there to fix it, it didn't last that long. It was just a patch job. It was just something to help it get on down the road. but I got something now. I just want you to know. And Zacharias, when he got done ministering in the temple and he comes out, and when he finishes, the Bible says he finishes his service, that all of a sudden he comes out and he can't speak. He's having to write everything out for everybody. Listen, that when he says an angel met with me and he took away my ability to speak, you think anybody questioned that he had had a messenger from God? No. Now, I'm sure he would have liked to have his voice, but the angel gave him what he asked for. Now, it wasn't exactly what he wanted. You know, a lot of times when God uses us, sometimes it ain't always the way we think it's going to happen. And I can tell you, in Mary's life, can you imagine in Mary's life? And we'll go through some of these different people over the next few weeks. But, I mean, Mary was one of those folks that, I mean, she was perceived because of the miracle that happened in her life. The world perceived her to have been unfaithful to Joseph. People around her, and it was a mark she probably carried for most of the rest of her life. But to us, she's a hero. To us, she's the purest young lady that ever could. History remembers her as the mother of our Savior. But in her day, as she walked up and down the streets, people didn't look at her as the purest lady ever. People didn't see her as somebody who had the Messiah, and everything that we know is true today. And so sometimes during our life, when we live it for the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes we're not always seen to be the person. I mean, even in our day and age, the way we believe and the way we preach and the way we live, it's thought to be old-fashioned. It's thought to be archaic. It's thought by the world to be passed on, and we're just angry, hateful people who want to live and put all the rules of the Bible on people when there are no such thing as rules. Well, this whole book is a book of, I mean, the Old Testament had five books of the law. Okay, I mean, if it didn't have laws, we would be lawless. Do you think man would just do what God wanted him to do if God didn't write it down for him how to do it? And even in that, the laws or the rules were what pointed us to Jesus Christ. They constantly are pointing to someone who kept all the rules, who took our cross on himself. Now, I want you to see, and we're going to read here in let's start in verse number 68. Verse 68 of the chapter, a lot of verses. The book of Luke is one of the largest books of the New Testament. He was someone who wrote like I preach, long. Okay? And the book of Luke is very long, and the book of Acts. They make up one third of the New Testament, the two books. And so there's a lot to it there, right? But there's a lot of stories, very detailed. And so here, and look at the verse if you would, and we'll begin to read the story, and then I'll try to convey what the Lord has put on my heart. I tried to lay a foundation for you. And let's go back to verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of the servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which he has been since the beginning of the world, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our fathers Abraham." Now, I'm going to finish reading, but I hope you didn't miss this. I have it underlined in my Bible in verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. The reason the Lord Jesus came into the world was to save all men, to seek and to save that which was lost. But what was prophesied by Zacharias and throughout the Old Testament prophets is the Messiah. What they're looking for in the coming of the Messiah was someone to save them from their enemies, to be their King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jesus is that. He is that now. But again, in time period, when we look at all that's going on in the world and things that are going on there, every time they have been in struggles, they, even when it's good times, they don't always look to the Messiah. They don't always think, in times of prosperity, neither does America. But when we're in times of war and people hate us, is when we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And even in this time, we can see and realize that even though there's turmoil in that land, and we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as the Word of God says, God's trying to get their attention. God is trying to wake them up to the fact that they can't take care of everything on their own. They're not an island to themselves. And even though we have been teaching recently in the book of Romans that they're blinded in part right now, God still wants to save them just like he does us. And I'm going to be honest with you, when they look up to the sky and they don't see Jesus coming in the clouds to return and save them, like right now, what's happening over there? Is Israel winning or losing? They're not the ones getting pounded. Okay? Now, really, in war, nobody really wins or loses, do they? But again, somebody's going to be declared the winner, and they're winning. And again, to themselves, what have they done? Instead of looking to God to be their helper, you think they're looking for God to come out of the sky? They're like, we're militarily superior. We've got this handled. We need our ally, the United States, to help us with some things. But again, they haven't looked to heaven. They still got us. They're calling on us. We're standing with us. One day they're going to be standing alone. And the only person they're going to have to call on is heaven. And heaven will answer in the form of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Here, Zechariah is talking about that is who Jesus is. And again, he's talking prophetically, not of the time and age we are right now, but of the second coming of Jesus Christ. We left off in verse 73, the oath which he sware to our fathers Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Again, this is a prophetic promise to God's people, and the millennial kingdom will be just that. They will be able to serve God without fear of being harmed or being attacked or being hurt during the millennial reign of Christ. They'll be able to serve. And again, every one of the tribes that make it there, all right? Again, many of you may miss this, but again, there wasn't just 12 tribes. There's 12 tribes of Jacob, all right? But when they come into the land, Jacob chose to split and give Joseph a double portion, made Levi the 13th tribe, 12 traveling, one to minister. But also, when we get to the book of Revelation, he removes Dan because Dan goes into apostasy. And so there'll be 12 tribes, and Dan will be removed because of apostasy. And there'll be 12 tribes again, ministering to 12 nations. And they won't have to fear about their religion or being harmed or being hurt, or that someone will stop them for their ministerial duties, as Rome and every other world power has tried to come over, and they allowed them to do this, or they allowed them to do that. They will be able, they're going to be the nation running the world. And their Savior will be sitting on the throne. And without fear, they'll go through their duties. And they will minister as they always, God always wanted them to be a light to the world. And Israel will minister to every nation of the world. 12 Gentile nations left in the millennial kingdom, and each one in their month of the year will come up to Jerusalem and be ministered to by their tribe. And that's what ruling and reigning will look like under the Lord Jesus Christ. And they'll do that with no fear. They'll do not with no scare. And that's what's being said. These are millennial prophecies, and again, he is prophesying. And so he says there in verse 76, and now he's going to turn his prophecy to his son. The Holy Spirit is using Zacharias' mouth, who he also, the Holy Spirit, by the way, is the one that shut him up. And now he turns him loose. He says, and thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And he goes through about how he grows. But I just want you to look at this with me. I got about 10 minutes, and I just want to kind of give you some points here. Zacharias gives a prophecy of John, his son. Now, we've seen some things, and Zacharias was important. He's someone who served the Lord. God chose him and Elizabeth to bring this, to be the parents and to raise a child who, from his birth, has the Holy Ghost. The Old Testament records one other child that is born absolutely in this way, and his name was Samson. And he was given to also another set of priestly tribe people who were supposed to take care of him and raise him in such a way as a Nazarite before the Lord. And both of these children are exactly to be raised the same. If you went back earlier in the chapter, and I encourage you to do that, after we finish the lesson, you can go back and read when Zacharias is given this prophecy that him and his wife would have a child. He's told exactly who John is going to be, what his name will be, and how they will raise him. And it's not according necessarily, it will be according to the law, but it will be also according to the Nazarite vow, because he will be, again, purposely born, filled with the Spirit of God for the purpose that God gave him. Now, I want you to see here in verse 76, he makes this prophecy and he says, "And thou, child," talking about John, "shall be called the prophet of the Highest." All right. And so again, if you wanted to know again who he served, and again, even when it comes to a place filled with the Holy Ghost, John, oftentimes when he could have, as a normal man, taken all the credit, lifted himself up. He was consistently, "My dad prophesied that I was a prophet. I'm not the highest." When given the opportunity and sees his Savior, Jesus Christ, he said, "He must increase and I must decrease. I'm a servant of the highest." You know, sometimes in this life, and we see this in Zechariah's life. Zacharias is there and he says, "Give me a sign." Instead of lifting Zacharias up, so everybody go, "Look at Zacharias." He didn't lift him up at the beginning, did he? He knocked him down a peg and said, "I'm going to take your voice. You're not going to speak until the baby's born. But listen, I'm going to just tell you, all the months, if I was Zacharias, when he had served and served and served God, and we don't think about him stopping his mouth as being a gift from God, but the Holy Spirit had to do that. And then when the Holy Spirit, when he finally turns him loose, doesn't just get to serve God, he gets to speak for him. Do you really? And again, I just want you to get, while we're going through the gifts that are given during the Christmas season, Zacharias, he's asked for a sign, and it doesn't look like a gift when it started out, did it? But when it finished, he's given a gift of a son to raise. And when there was no way physically him and his wife were going to have a child. When we get to the Christmas season, I mean, it's something. I don't know about you, but I've learned it's not about socks and underwear and the things I get now. It's about all the gifts that God has given me. The whole time is about, you know, spending time with the folks that God has given me and put in my life. And I'm just going to say, you know, for us, I mean, as a church family, you know, you may not have a vast family or have children in the same order. You know, I remember coming here, and the first Wednesday we were here, we came up and Brother Brown, Charles Brown, ran Pastor down, because you know how a preacher, he likes to head out. Right, I think he had a deacon's meeting, and so he was much better about getting to them things than I was, right? Or I am now, right? And so, I mean, he's like in full. He wasn't running, but it was close. And so Brother Brown ran him down from behind. He says, "I got a couple I want you to meet." I never talked to a preacher, never heard him preach. That night, we had soul-winning marathon testimonies in this building. My wife and I sat way back over here in the back corner, close to the nursery door, because some of our kids were in the nursery. And I listened to a person get up and person after person talk about their soul winning experience. And my wife and I, not having ever heard pastor preach, I sat there and thought, this church is just like our church. They care about souls and they go out soul winning and they get after people and they knock doors and they love people. They got a camp. I didn't know everything about the camp, but I knew we had one. And the only thing that this place had that we didn't have at my home church was a college. But this church was just like, they had a preacher and they had people who loved God and they had buses and they cared about people. And I thought, man, I'm gonna come here because I can get trained and I can go back. And even in my heart, you know, the Lord put in my heart, man, you know, the only thing we're missing back home is a college. That's what we need to do, is start a college. I never got to do that. I had to come here and run this one. Amen. I mean, you know, when we think about it, we always have a plan for God, right? But God gave gifts. God gave desires in my heart, and there was no different. You know, I bet Zechariah and Elizabeth thought to themselves, Lord, why do we constantly want a child? Why are we constantly desiring that? And, you know, this is something that doesn't seem what we're able to do. You know, God puts desires inside of our heart, and God wants to fulfill them. And just like that, but he always does that in his time, not in our time. Not when we think it's the best time. Not when we think this is the best. If I could just do this. And God brings things. Listen, I don't know who in the world Zacharias was able to minister to down the road, but I know when he was quiet, God probably taught him to listen. You know, a good counselor, oftentimes you talk and they listen. And then they'll hear what the problem is. You know, I don't know about you, but I think for us, a lot of times we talk too much and we don't do enough listening. With our children, with our grandchildren, with folks around us, a lot of people that are lost, sometimes they'll give us an opportunity to be a witness if we just listen. They'd give us a place to step right in and take off witnessing if we just listen to them. Because, again, that we live in a sin-cursed world and there are problems. And most time people are looking for a way out, or they're looking for an answer to something that's going on in their life. And if we'll just be good to listen, we can realize where they are and say, well, you know, Jesus came to take care of that. You know, Jesus has an answer for that. The Bible has an answer for that. You know, the whole world's looking for an answer. Do you know all this pack of people that are running up and down the street are looking for something to fulfill them? And they think at the end of the day, just because they ran a race, they're going to get a great big medal. Amen. They run this race and they got this medal and they're going to hang that on their wall. But it won't last no time. They're going to have to run it again next year. They're going to have to run it again and again. And then what happens when they can't run anymore? No fulfillment of medals. I got to find some other race to run. I got to train for something else. I got to do something else. Listen, there's everything in this life, according to this flesh, it's nothing new under the sun. People have been running races. But listen, as a Christian, when I got in the Christian race, I had a different race to run. And I wasn't supposed to run it in the flesh. And Zechariah finds out right here, he ain't supposed to run this race in the flesh. It's a spiritual race. He don't have to be able to tell everybody what happened. Him being quiet was just as powerful as him speaking up. And I see here, he says, John, because of the prophecy, now this gift that he's been given, he says to his gift, John, he says in verse 76, and thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face to prepare his ways. Do you know the way to heaven is Jesus Christ? If we were to turn to John 14, 6, we'd realize he's the way, the truth, and the life. And John came to prepare that way. His whole purpose in his life was to become and to be born, but he had to have a good upbringing by his parents. He had to have a good set of parents that God chose and they gave a gift to him. And even if you want to know the difference, I mean, both that really the way John is and the way he's given, and think about Samson, it could have gone either way. They didn't raise a great one in Samson. He made some bad decisions. But if you read the story, his parents brought him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They taught him everything he needed. And when he became an adult, he made his own choices. And it broke his parents' heart. But here we get a story of a set of parents who are given the same opportunity, and they raise that child to fulfillment. And when he comes and he's as old as he can be, instead of turning back, listen, both of them full of the Holy Spirit, not controlled, still with a free will to choose to live for God and to do right, or to turn on God and do wrong. Samson chose the other way, and now we got a story in our Christmas story of one that was chosen to prepare the way. By the way, you know Samson was there to prepare a way too. He was there to deliver God's people. He was considered a deliverer, and here John's not promised to deliver, but just pave the way for the deliverer. When he's given an opportunity and he has the crowd and he's the leader, he tells the crowd, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." He said, "I'm not the man. That's the man." Amen. He said, I was just here to pave a way and to get the road ready. I was here to gather his church to present his bride to him. Listen, folks, I've said it over and over again. The apostles, all 12 of those men, were of John's baptism and heard him preach. And they were standing there. Listen, not all of them were there that day because Andrew was, but evidently Peter wasn't. Because Andrew had to go to his brother and say, "We found the Savior." Now, he had heard John preach and he had paved the way. But then we say here, John not only came to prepare the way, but he came to prepare people. That's what I'm telling you right now. Listen, the disciples didn't just learn or hear the first time about the Messiah before he pointed and said he is the Messiah. They had heard John preach about the way and the person who was coming, that he was not worthy to unlatch his shoes. And that's Jesus Christ. And then I want you to see this. Jesus came to guide us to the way. Do you know Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost in this book that's written in Luke 19:10? But as we look in this chapter, I mean, it's powerful when we begin to realize that prophetically, Zechariah says of Jesus Christ to give light in verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and then the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. You know, peace is something the people that run the race today are seeking. Peace today is what all the world, because all of us are in turmoil. The world is in turmoil in Israel. The world is in turmoil right here inside this building. If we're not careful, our life will be turned upside down at any moment. And this book records the way of peace. Do you know when we have all the things, listen, it's a sin-cursed world and things happen. People go home to heaven and it breaks our heart. How do I have peace in a crazy world like that? How do I find peace? Peace came and found me. And his name is Jesus Christ. He's the Prince of Peace. The whole book of Philippians in the fourth chapter is laid out so that it gives us how to have peace in the body. It tells us, let our moderation be known unto all men. It tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It tells us how to pray. Folks, in verse 8, it tells us that in everything, how do I keep my moderation? I beg God. I give it to him. I put him on the throne room of my heart. And then finally, in verse number 9, it tells us in that same chapter that all of us, listen, I don't know about you, but for me, I want to, how to have peace, how to act. It tells us how to act. It tells us how to pray. And then it tells us how to think. Because the thing that gives us the most trouble isn't typically the pain. It's thinking about the pain. I can't get my mind off of it. My body's in pain, but my heart and my mind won't get away from that. We look to drugs. People in the world look to drugs and alcohol, and the doctors just prescribe those things in a different way to try to help us get our mind and our hearts away from a problem. And it doesn't have to just be physical. It can be psychological. It can be so many different things in this life. But the Prince of Peace, I found this. When I give it to him and I say, "God, this is yours. I'm going to set you up on the throne room of my heart. You run the show. I'm trusting you with cancer, whatever it is." I mean, we could give him a list of things, whatever I'm trusting you with. You, Lord. And then I do what he tells me to do. To think on these good things, right? Pure things and honest things and just things. Whatsoever things that God has put in here that's good. Because if I focus on the bad, what happens? It kills my rejoicing. It changed the way I act. And instead of looking like Jesus, I look like the rest of the world. And I'm chasing the wrong thing and I'm doing the wrong thing. Here's Zacharias. You know, he thought, I've been given a job. What a gift. What's the sign of my gift? And he stamped a big boom, hit him right on the mouth. Here's your sign. You ain't going to speak until I say so. And then when the say-so was, what did he say? He didn't speak for himself. He started speaking for the Lord. You know, for me, I want my life to be that way. You know, I want my life to be a life that I gave my life to Jesus. And I live for him. And that listen, I had a time where, here's your sign. I grew up in church and heard it over and over and over again. And finally, I came to salvation. And man, it was kind of like a here's your sign moment for me. But once I had that settled, I didn't want to speak of me or what was going on or poochy lip disease and talk about my problems. I want to talk about the one that saved me out of my problems. I want to talk about the one that rejoice in what he's given me. What a gift it is to have this season to give others a testimony of Jesus Christ. That's what Zacharias did. That's what I want to do this season. We got to quit and go. Let's pray together. And I think I got a number. Am I supposed to give the number before I pray? This morning, it looks like altogether 793. Amen. There's a few people that made it. Some of them tuned in by the video. I hope, Pastor Carter, if you're listening, we're praying for you, preacher. We love you. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace, God. I thank you for this great church, Lord, and I thank you for the opportunity to serve here. Just like Zacharias, Lord, help us to look and serve you, Lord, and to be whatever it is, Lord. When we get a gift, Lord, help us to not be upset with the gift, but to just follow you in your will, Lord, and to do whatever it is to rejoice so other people can see the goodness of God in our lives. Lord, help us in the next hour. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.